Today we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I know that we had a bit of a break last week from it as I was away, but Tim continued with the thread that we've been pursuing through Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I'm aware that he made reference to this letter last week. Nevertheless, let us return to the letter in chapter 3 this week, starting at verse 12, and see where we are up to. Well, last time we met and took a look at Paul's letter, Paul said, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again and again, and it is a safeguard for you." Paul was reiterating what the gospel stood for, what the gospel cause was, to live and speak the gospel, to be Christ-like in our love for one another. Time and time again, in different ways, Paul is making this message clear to the church at Philippi, and so to us also. He's saying, do not be sidetracked into thinking anything, any ritual, whether it be circumcision or anything else, or anything else, is more important than the gospel itself. Put no confidence in the things of the flesh, Paul says, because these things are lost to God. They're of no significance. What matters, says Paul, is who you are in Christ. All other things, Paul says, is garbage, like garbage that is to be thrown away. Each week we collect garbage up, don't we? And it needs to be thrown away. We continue to collect these things up, these things that are not important to God, and we must go through a process of throwing these things away. There's an image that I had of someone who had written about their childhood, of them standing overlooking a cemetery, seeing people being lowered into the ground each day. People with lots of people surrounding them, a beautiful ornate coffin, images of wonderful ornate large gravestones, and then those who don't have much, who only have a couple of people, perhaps being lowered into an unmarked grave which will have no stone by it. And this person wrote that as a child they came to the realization that we all go out of the world with the same. We cannot take things into eternity. And this is what Paul is saying. Everything that the world values is like garbage. It will be worth nothing when we enter into eternity. And so we may as well dispose of it now and put priority on what is important. And what follows this week is Paul writing about his application of the imperative to place God before self. And as we begin this next section of Paul's letter to the Philippians, I'm struck by how real he is. Paul is honest, truthful about the struggles. And Paul begins with, "I do not claim to have already succeeded or have already become perfect." Here Paul is practicing what he is preaching about humility. In effect, what he is saying is that he tries to put other before self, and he sometimes fails. He tries to put God before his worldly desire, and sometimes fails. But he is being honest and true. We may look at Paul and think he's too hard on himself, but Paul is looking at himself. He knows who or what he puts first. And I admire Paul for this. When I began my walk with Christ, or even in the days leading up to starting this walk, I encountered a lot of people who called themselves Christians. One thing I realised quite early on, and probably because the Christians I was encountering were at university and young and trying to find their way in the world, is that often there were times when their behaviour didn't measure up to how one might expect a follower of Christ to act. For me, their behaviour was not shocking or surprising, having encountered far worse growing up in Coventry, living and hanging out with the mates I did, and living by only the secular standard that if what you were doing isn't hurting anybody, then who cares? But what did shock me about many Christians that I encountered was their ability to pretend like they were perfect, even though they had a tendency to behave just like any other person, any other student between the ages of 18 and 21. But what I found hard to stomach was that they presented the air that they were better than everyone else. For me, they were not being real. And this, for me, became a huge barrier to following Christ. His so-called followers just did not seem real to me. Not like Paul at all, whom I had read about already in my New Testament. But there was one student who seemed real to me and who was trying to follow Christ in his life. This young man was a Catholic, and very evidently, if you watched him, you would see that he did not live the perfect life. However, I could see, and still do to this day as I'm in touch with him still, that there was a struggle going on inside of him, as there was with Paul. He was striving to become more Christ-like, but he more than anyone was aware of his own shortcomings, of where he fell short of that mark time and time again. It was and is he who for me shows the relevance of the gospel most in his life, of those that I encountered as I was seeking Christ. It seems to me that the gospel of Christ called this young man to repentance, a stark contrast to some or many of the others that I met and continue to meet over the years, for whom the gospel almost seems like something they hide behind that makes them feel better than other people. And the truth is, friends, that I, as I stand before you today, am a sinner. I need Jesus to save me from my sin. Every day I must allow the gospel to call me to repentance before God, to throw out that garbage which I collect every day. The truth is that you need this too. It's so important that when we present our faith to others, that we do so not in a way that makes it appear like we have things all figured out. We are not like Buddhist monks who claim to have achieved enlightenment. We are sinners who are called to repentance. And this will be something that is much more real to people as they seek after Christ than any attempt to portray ourselves as being arrived people or enlightened people. We stand before God, acceptable only to him because of his redeeming grace. This is why I cringe when a Christian says to someone, "Are you saved?" Do we think we are saved? True, Jesus has provided an atoning sacrifice, once and for all time, that reconciles us to that which is holy once more, namely God. This has been done, this has been achieved. However, if Paul could not say he was arrived, if Paul did not utter the words, I am saved, then how can we? Paul said regarding salvation, I really do not think that I have already won it. However, what we can say is that Jesus is ready and able to save. Of this we can be assured, and that we are in the process of being saved. Now, this does not need to be a depressing revelation for us. In fact, this can be something that refines us. Remember these words from 1 Peter. It's what Peter the Apostle wrote. Even gold which can be destroyed is refined by fire, and your faith, which is much more precious than gold, will be refined so that it may endure. If it were not a process of being saved, then we would not strive after growing into closer communion with God. But we do. And in this process of being saved, Paul says this: the one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me. Now, we looked last time we met at how Paul said that your position in the world and your heritage has no matter to how God views you. So if you are successful by the world's standards, it matters not to God. It only matters to those in the world while you're here, but it has no bearing in eternity. And this time Paul is saying, whatever you might have done that you think will harm your chances of being reconciled to God also does not matter to God, because you are being saved. And Paul says, I do my best to reach what is ahead. He's saying, draw a line under all things that have gone before. Things that you think make you good, but also things that you've done that you wish you could change, but can't. Leave it all in the past. He says, run straight towards the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Jesus Christ to the life above. Do this by doing what Paul has discussed, by living a life of humility and love for others, as Paul attempted to do, and as Jesus mastered. And there is a stark warning from a tearful Paul here to the church at Philippi, a charge that is relevant to all churches at all times and in all places, and so is relevant to us on Rickmansworth High Street today too. Do not be a hypocrite, an enemy of the cross of Jesus. Again, Paul is referring here to the mutilators of the flesh, those who were telling members of the church at Philippi that they should undergo circumcision, emphasizing the wrong thing as important. We must be pointing towards what is important and not emphasizing anything that is not. We must be pointing towards Jesus. We must ensure too that we place importance only on our faith in Jesus, as we are being saved, and live by faith in humility and love to attain that goal that is promised to us in eternity. As we do so, may the peace of Christ be with each of us. Amen.